Dub Nation, you're listening to the Warriors Post Up with the voice of the Warriors, Tim Roy.
Tim Roy, Tom Tolbert, Clippers with a win, 106-103. Warriors had a great look at a three. LJ Cryer had a great look.
Ooh, scared me.
Just didn't go.
I was like Apollo Creed's trainer. Oh, look in slow motion. It happened in slow motion. Look, I would have been all in. They're down two. Go ahead and win the game. Just nobody needs bonus preseason time. And I mean nobody needs bonus preseason time. So
let me ask you a serious question.
Yes.
What do you think of Will Richard?
I like him.
Yeah.
Athletic.
Yeah.
Could be a 3-and-D guy. Look, I know he plays D because he went. I always say this about Houston, but Florida plays D too.
Yeah,
and they played D under Golden. So I think he's a guy that could contribute. I think he's a guy. Look, Steve's looking for guys, and I'll give you an example. I'm sure a lot of people wonder why certain players play in Warrior games when they think other guys are more talented. A lot of people may look at a guy like Guy Santos and go, why is Guy Santos playing
right.
as much? Because Guy Santos understands what his role is on the team. Hustle his butt off, play defense, hit a wide open shot, and try to get the ball to Steph. You know, that's what you're trying to do. Like I heard a stat, and this is like an astounding stat, that if Steph Curry touches the ball once in a possession, the Warriors are fourth. Their offensive efficiency goes to fourth in the NBA.
Wow.
If he touches it twice in a possession, it's like all-time best. Like, that's how good it is when he touches
wow.
the ball. That's why he wants to get players in the court that understand, like, he's the hub of our offense. We're trying to get him to touch the ball. I told Steve, I go, why don't you just give him the ball twice before you get to half court? You're going to be a great It's like one of those stats when somebody runs the ball 20 times. I'm like, well, just give it to him 20 times in a row. You can't
yeah.
lose now. You're good. But no. So that's.
Because he's either going to draw gravity and defenders or he's going to get open.
So that's what Steve wants, right?
Right.
Move the ball. Quick decisions. We're looking for Steph. Let Steph work for the offense, either for him or for everybody else. And that's the great thing about Steph, is just him being on the court should open up things for you. So it's not as much about putting as much talent on the court. It's like, how does that talent fit? And I'll circle back to Will Richard. If he can play three, if he could play D, hit some threes, make quick decisions, and be on the court like with Steph and figure out how like he works and how to get him the ball and how to get him open and be able to work off that, absolutely. You could see a guy that, you know, there's going to be injuries. There always are during the course of a season. A guy that gets a little more polish and a little more, I don't want to say confidence, but seasoning, I guess. He could be a guy that could make an impact at some point.
Yeah, I think it's a guy, too. It's on the night maybe where, you know, coming up, you've got Moody who's hurt right now. He's not going to open the season.
Yep.
So maybe a night where if Pachemski gets into early foul trouble,
yep.
he can buy you some time, buy you 7 to 10 minutes, and, you know, like you said, play alongside Steph. He knows how to make that play. I mean, Guy Santos tonight showed us twice why he's so valuable playing alongside Steph. He made a play, and then he gets the ball in the middle. What's he do? He finds Gary Payton on the baseline,
yep.
right, with a beautiful bounce pass. And that's the kind of things that make the Warriors an incredibly tough team to cover sometimes. It's really...
Well, I think fans get confused sometimes because they always think the most talented players should play.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the players. It's what makes the team better. Like, what makes the team better? I always say this. How do the pieces fit together? And why do they fit together? And you're always going to have your stars, and those are the guys going to play. How do you complement those guys to make them as good as they can be? Like, I don't need, if someone's out there with Steph, I don't need another guy that's getting 20 shots.
Right.
I don't. I mean, that's maybe when he's off the court, we can have that guy on the court. But, you know, it's going to be about Steph. And that's just the way it is around the league with star players. Like, you figure out, okay, what does our star player do? How do we complement him? And how do we make those players be able to shine off the star player? So, I mean, and that's why guys like Guy, because you could look at Guy Santos and go, I don't know if he'd play for another team. I don't know. Maybe he would. Maybe he wouldn't. I think he's a good enough player to play in the NBA. He's proven that.
Yep.
But he fits here because he knows what his role is here.
Right.
And he knows how to accentuate that role. And that's why he plays, and Steve trusts him to play in just about any situation.
Any other thoughts? Stuff he saw in this preseason?
I'm just looking forward to the regular season. I think it's going to be a really, really fun season, and I don't have, like, a lot of times you'll have a really good idea of how everything's going to shake out, and I just don't this year. I mean, the Warriors, I said before the game started, I think they're going to be in the top four with the Clippers, Denver, and OKC. I feel really good about saying OKC is going to win the West again, like not in the playoffs, but they'll have the best record. But you never know how a team's going to handle winning your first championship. Like, you're the hunted now. You got to deal with
absolutely
all that. So you don't know that.
There's two things I've learned watching the Warrior championship teams. One is you're not going to get the night where everybody kind of looks past you and thinks, okay, you're not really good, and we'll just kind of cruise here.
Yep.
And secondly, there's going to be games where they're playing a team they should beat easily. It's going to be mid-third quarter, and they're down maybe 8 or 10. And they're going to look up and go, oh, okay, we got to get moving now. And
yep,
they're going to win the game, because championship teams do that. They don't panic. You know, they don't panic. They don't give up. They say, okay, we'll get going now.
Yeah, well, that was the old Warrior teams. A good quarter from them, the game was over.
Yeah.
They just turned it on for 12 minutes, and it was over. But, yeah, I mean, they look, they're the best team. They have the most depth, and they should be the best team in the West again. I feel pretty good about Denver being better than they were last year because of the depth that they've added, and they actually have a legitimate backup center in Valanciunas that can play behind Jokic.
Wow.
Boy, Malachi crunch.
Deal for them.
Yeah, it was.
My goodness.
It was, because he can play. I mean, we've seen him for years now. So other than that, but, I mean, Denver could slide down. Yeah, I said I thought they'd finish in the two-hole, but they could. But after that, I can make a case, really good case, for the Warriors. I can make a case for the Clippers. I can make a case for the Lakers, depending on LeBron's health. I can make a case for Minnesota. You could probably even make a case for Houston. But, again, I want to see him sort out the guard situation. Dallas, I don't know that I could make the case for yet. If they had Kyrie, absolutely. But it's gonna be rough.
Yeah.
It's gonna be rough playing in the Western Conference. So that's why, to me, it's fun, because the Eastern Conference, how shocking would it be to you if Cleveland wasn't a one or a two?
Not very shocking at all.
I mean, I'd be well. No, no. I would say I'd be shocked if they weren't a one or two.
Yeah, no, I'll be shocked if they're not one or two.
I mean, right now, I would say 1-2-3, and I feel pretty good about saying it. 1-2-3 in the East is going to be Cleveland, New York, and Orlando. Those are your top three teams in the East. And then I can't make a case for like five or six other teams like I could in the Western Conference.
Right.
I just can't. So the Western Conference is going to be fun. I think the Eastern Conference will be, I mean, I don't know if it'll be settled by March.
Philadelphia, you don't know what's going to happen there.
Yeah, I don't.
Because every year is the same story there with Embiid.
Yeah.
Miami, you know they're going to play hard. I've heard rumblings that they've tweaked their offense this year. I can't wait to see what they're doing. But I don't know if they have enough talent to be a top four team.
Yeah. Boston, I don't think does.
Nope.
Although I'm not going to discount the championship pedigree that they have and the guys that they still have, but they're just not deep enough. Milwaukee.
They don't have enough players who have won the championship.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good point. That's a good point. I mean, Milwaukee, I don't know how that whole thing's going to fit with Miles Turner coming in.
There's a lot more question marks in the East, you know?
Yeah.
You know, one of the teams we just mentioned might be really good, right? Well, we don't know that right now. But in the West, there are certain, you know, guarantees.
Yeah.
So.
Well, look, I would be surprised if Orlando, New York, and Cleveland aren't there at the very top.
You mentioned the Knicks. Al Brown must have make sure.
I just did mention the Knicks. Oh, I said the Knicks. Okay. I said New York. New York.
Yes, not Brooklyn.
Not Brooklyn. New York.
go New York. Go New York. Go.
But I think Cleveland's the best team. They're the best team in the Eastern Conference. But again, the West is just it's a gauntlet, and it's gonna be fun to watch it shake out. Because I do believe this isn't like the year, nor has it been for maybe the last few years, to say, we'll just go ahead and win 47 games and finish in sixth and expect to come out of the Western Conference like that. You could do that if you want to, but being on the road against those teams, tough enough to beat them if you have home court. I just don't see it happening.
The Warriors won 48 last year. They were in the play-in.
I know.
It's like,
I know. So, yeah.
Looking forward to it, though. It's going to be a blast.
No, it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to another year with you. How many years is this for you?
This will be my 31st with the Dubs, 37 in the league.
Wow, that's awesome.
It's really unbelievable.
That's incredible.
It's unbelievable.
You were in the league when I was playing.
Exactly. Exactly.
And I'm 60. Well, good Lord.
The sad thing is.
How old are you? Like Nosferatu? Jiminy Christmas. You're calling games when I was playing.
I'm the picture of Dorian Gray. I'm going backwards.
Dorian Gray. That's a great pull right there. That is a great pull.
It's so funny. The worst thing is now I'm broadcasting games where the sons of players I broadcast are, you know, Del Curry.
Yeah.
You know, and both his sons are now in their late 30s, you know. It's like,
I can't wait to hear you announcing Cannon's games.
By the way. Really...
Cannon Curry.
That's right. Tim won't be up here. I've done all three generations of Curry.
Exactly. Done the whole family.
It's a third generation sensation.
There you go. No, I'm really, you know, the one thing that blew my mind was somebody pointed this out to me last year, and I told RC this, that when they looked at the list of Warrior announcers in the years, nobody's done more Warrior games than I have, ever.
Really?
Yeah. Bill King lasted a few number of years, and Hall of Fame Philadelphia announcer did Wilt's 100
Bill
game. Bill Campbell, yes, he you know they didn't last. They only lasted 17 years in Philadelphia, and so that was a shocker to me. That was kind of humbling.
Wow, but that is awesome.
You're still hovering around 500, I think.
Yeah. Oh, I'm not. That's the other thing. My overall record is not 500 yet. I'm gonna stay here until I get to 500.
That's how much.
That's how bad we were for so long.
Oh my goodness!
Even with this run, the run of the franchise, my overall record is not 500.
I got to be at least 100 games over 500.
Oh, don't you're like a 0.700.
I'm killing it.
Killing it.
I might have a better record than Kerr.
if you don't want Steve to count Luke Walton's game, you can't count any of the road games. You got to be just home games.
That's a good point. That is a really good point. I can't take credit for those.
Oh man,
I wasn't there.
I'm looking forward to it. You know
absolutely.
What?
Absolutely.
I say this at the end of every season, and I mean it, is that, you know, I get to work with people that are not only great at what they do, but we're friends. We have a great group here.
It's fun. Getting to show up, it's, you know, it's like I'm not going to go as far as to say the cliche, I do this for free, but I look forward to it every single game. I get to show up and work with you guys and call this team. The way they play is they play a really fun style of basketball. Of course, Steph's one of the greatest players of all time, and I get to do it with people that, you know, make me laugh and love basketball as much as I do. And it's always a fun journey, and it's always a little bit different every single year.
Yeah, how blessed are we? It's work that doesn't feel like work.
Exactly.
So, We will see you here. We'll see you here coming up.
I'll be here Thursday. Next Thursday. I get to see Creamy Nougats.
Boy, yeah, they're deep. So we'll see you then.
I will be here.
All right, John. Thank you.